terrifying and awe-inspiring power of lightning is undeniable here in Southern California. It is a relatively rare experience, and when it comes, sometimes we don't realize the destruction it can bring with it. But lightning is more than a spectacle. It can kill.
It was right over our heads, these white-hot fingers of death.
It looked like a plate of white light had hit the top of her head, like being inside of a static electricity globe.
And beyond the human toll, there's the danger to nature. Just about 2 years ago, a massive lightning storm started one of the biggest fires in California history. The August Complex Fire burned more than 1 million acres. And just as the state is dealing with a years-long drought, a new study indicates that climate change may well bring an increase in lightning strikes as well. We talk about all of that. Fox 11 News In Depth starts right now.
Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner. Thanks for joining us. We're talking about something this week that everyone is familiar with, but how much do you really know about that stuff behind me? Lightning. In August of 2020, a massive lightning storm, more than 1,500 strikes in a few days, ignited more than 600 fires in Northern and Central California. Some of those grew into what was known as the August Complex Fire, which burned for months. Joining us now is Zoe Ture, a video producer who is putting the finishing touches on a documentary about that fire, and Battalion Chief Isaac Sanchez, who is with CAL FIRE. Thanks for being with us, both of you. And Zoe, let's start with you. Let's take a look at some of your video footage as we talk about the lightning barrage and the August Complex Fire. You say you believe that a bolt of lightning started that, and you saw that.
We have the very bolts that started the CZU and SCU fires that contributed to the burning of 925 home structures throughout the Santa Cruz and the Santa Clara County areas. And it was shocking, to say the least. Pardon the pun. It was stunning what we were able to see.
Lightning is frightening. I mean, you sort of hear that thunder and then boom, you see the lightning, and it is shocking. And, you know, why did you decide to do a documentary on this?
We were testing equipment. Our company, News Media Films, merged with Geoidentity, a bunch of ex-Google engineers, and we're developing technology to see things in the sky, fast-moving objects. And we wanted to test our equipment. We have cameras that can see 275 trillion colors and can record at very high frame rates. And we wanted to see what it would do. And when I heard that there was lightning coming, I stayed up. And then I got the emergency alert. And within a matter of minutes, I was up on a ridgeline overlooking the Santa Cruz Mountains. And we started shooting from 3 a.m. to the next morning, dawn, including the areas of the Silicon Valley area. And it was like nothing I'd ever seen before. I'm a pilot. I've seen lightning, but I've never seen, like, this was the kind of lightning you'd see in Venezuela. It was bolt after bolt after bolt. And it wasn't just the negative bolts or cloud to cloud. This was cloud to ground lightning, positive bolts, 5 times hotter than the surface of the sun, striking just every few seconds. And it was, you know, we're not talking about lightning that, you know, small lightning. This was huge. And there was at one point, we almost got struck twice by lightning up on a ridgeline. And it like went right over our heads. These white hot fingers of death is what I say in the documentary, but it goes right over our heads about 50, 60 feet. And it was a bit too close. So
that sounds dangerous. But before we move on, what's the name of this documentary? When does it come out?
It's August Complex. It's the lightning and wildfire documentary we shot for 1 week in 8K ultra, well, higher than that, 8K with 16-bit cameras. So it's like a motion picture. First time anyone, I think, has gone out with a real motion picture camera with special sensors to film something like this. And you'd be surprised. We had some CAL FIRE. We did a special screening for some CAL FIRE people. And one of the firefighters, a division chief, said his hands trembled as he watched this. He had no idea the number of lightning strikes that, you know, were striking throughout the area. He was very surprised.
Now, Chief Sanchez, when you see the images that you're seeing now on the screen, and these are things that Zoe shot, you know, it reminds you of some of your own firefighting efforts. And I know you don't really think that firefighting, the brush fires, the number one cause is lightning, but it does cause a lot of fires.
Absolutely. We obviously keep track of these things. It's not as many as you would think, but it certainly is enough. Anything more than one is a significant source of fire, especially in these times when we have the potential for large destructive fires. I believe in 2020, the year that we're talking about, we had confirmed 264 vegetation fires that were started by lightning. And that's, out of, multiple thousands of fires that we responded to that year in the state. But as we all remember, it doesn't take much to start a destructive fire. And by the way, a destructive fire is relative to how close it is to you and whether it's impacting you. So even one lightning strike is going to be a concern.
If it's accurate that you don't think it's number one in fire causes, what is number one?
I'd have to look at it, but generally speaking, it's human activity. Human activity causes a vast majority of vegetation fires. In fact, pretty much everything outside of lightning is essentially human activity, or at least related to human activity. It could be a vehicle accident. It could be arson. It could be electrical equipment failing. So we kind of lump it into human activity. Of course, we do break it down when you look at the reports as far as what the specific causes of these fires are. And it can be anything from vehicle accident to equipment use, a railroad, a train riding by in a given area could potentially start a fire. So there are a lot of things out there. Lightning, obviously, again, is one of them, but it's one of the very few natural processes, one of the very few things that we can't control that will start fires.
And before we get back to Zoe, Chief, later in the show, we're going to introduce everybody to somebody who was actually struck by lightning. What do you tell people who might be watching now, if they're in an area of a thunderstorm, there is a potential for lightning, what should they do?
Get indoors. Get indoors. It's the safest place to be in the event of potential lightning strikes. But in the event that you can't get indoors, you want to avoid tall objects like trees or power towers or anything like that. You want to avoid open spaces. So it can be a little bit confusing as to how to stay safe during a lightning storm and avoid potentially being struck or impacted or affected by a lightning strike. But if you can, the best place to be is inside.
Zoe, you and I have been through a lot of brush fires over the years, and sort of a final thought here. What is your parting thought as we wrap up this segment about lightning?
Well, 46% of lightning here in California is dry lightning. And I think we're going to see a lot more of that, a great deal more. And it's the same kind of lightning that started fires in Greece, Siberia, France, Spain, especially Spain. So we're seeing this all around the world. And I'm beginning to wonder and believe that this is our new normal. And it's something that Cal Fire, like the chief said, cannot control. But we really need to start taking this very, very seriously. We need to listen to Cal Fire and others talking about brush clearance and evacuations,
right,
and handle these things. A lot of people here in Northern California live in, dangerous areas.
And in Southern California as well. I mean, this is always a threat. Zoe, Chief, thank you both very much. We've got to move on. But coming up next on Fox 11 News in Depth, one guy who knows an awful lot about lightning, our own Fox 11 meteorologist Rick Dickert. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Fox 11 News in Depth. I'm Hal Eisner. We've talked a little bit about the power of lightning and what it can do, but what is it actually? Why is it so unpredictable? Joining us right now, our own Fox 11 meteorologist, Rick Dickert, and I know you know a lot about lightning because I've known you for a very, very long time. And I guess, one of the first things I want to ask you is, what is lightning and what different types are there?
And we actually don't know a whole lot about lightning. We are still doing a lot of research on what lightning's all about. But the bottom line, it's an electrical discharge between positively and negatively charged areas in the atmosphere. Our atmosphere always wants to be in balance, Hal. And what happens is you get this discharge that tries to create that balance with the positive and the negative. Whenever we have thunderstorms, a lot of lift in the atmosphere, rapidly rising and sinking it, we get that charge separation, and boom, we get the lightning that tries to balance that.
A lightning that follows thunder by how many seconds?
That's right. It all depends on the distance you are from that storm. We talk about the speed of sound. Remember, you have that electrical discharge, which is ultra hot, 5 times hotter than the surface of the sun. You get that heating, you get that expansion of the in the atmosphere, and that is what creates the thunder. So it's lightning before the thunder. The distance you are from that lightning bolt can be determined by just counting. The speed of sound is approximately 1,000 feet per second. So roughly, because remember, a mile is 5,280 feet, Hal, roughly 5 seconds per mile.
What types of lightning are there?
There's all sorts, but the vast majority are cloud to cloud, meaning that that lightning bolt extends from one cloud to another cloud. It's the CG, the cloud to the ground, that can be the most dangerous. Obviously, for people on the ground, because of the wildfire threat, there's the fork lightning and also what we call sheet lightning. We call it sheet lightning because it just illuminates the cloud. It brightens the cloud up and you actually don't see a bolt.
Horizontal lightning?
That would be more of a cloud-to-cloud bolt there.
Again, so we have all these different types. Is there one that's generally present here in Southern California?
First of all, we don't even rank in California in the top 10 for lightning strikes. You have to go to spots like Florida, to Texas, to Oklahoma, where those big superstorms develop. We're well low on the scale. But when lightning does occur, what happens a lot is that dry lightning. And what dry lightning is, it means that you have the thunderstorm, you have that lightning bolt, you have that bolt, that cloud-to-ground bolt that makes ground contact, ignites the brush on the hillside, the chaparral, the grasses, all the vegetation that's indigenous to Southern California, the forest land, it catches that vegetation on fire. But unfortunately, the raindrops that are falling from the base of that thunderstorm, they don't reach the surface of the ground and are not able to put that fire out.
I want to talk about climate change, but before I do, there's a new study from Cal Berkeley suggesting that lightning strikes will increase 12% for every degree Celsius of global warming. That doesn't sound good.
No, it doesn't. And we do know that we are seeing a change in our climate. And when we say climate change, we're just not talking about global warming. Some areas may actually cool. Some areas may see more precipitation. Some areas may see less than. But here in the West, specifically in Southern California, we're warming, we're drying. So if we do get a thunderstorm over Big Bear, over the San Bernardino Mountains, up across the Sierra Nevada, like we've seen the last few years, the likelihood of that dry lightning increases. You have that brush. We have dry summers here in Southern California because of our Mediterranean climate. So the forest land dries out. You get that intense bolt. Again, how 5 times hotter than the surface of the sun those bolts are. You ignite that brush, and it spreads rapidly.
What would you like to add about safety and lightning?
Only 5 days out of the year do we have a thunderstorm in the greater Los Angeles area. The vast majority of thunderstorms that we have here in Southern California occur up in the high country, up in Big Bear, Idlewild, in our desert communities, Apple Valley, Lancaster, Palm Springs. If you are out and about, and we have thunderstorms in the forecast, and always keep it here on Fox 11 because we will keep you apprised of the latest forecast. Remember, when thunder roars, go indoors. When thunder roars, stay indoors. You want to give yourself at least 30 minutes after the last rumble of thunder that you hear or the lightning strike that you see to keep you and your family safe.
The 30-minute rule. Rick Dickard, thank you very much.
Right on.
Always good to see you. Coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, we talk to a woman whose experience with lightning is extremely rare. She was struck by it and lived to talk about it. That's next. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. I'm Hal Eisner. By now, you're getting a sense of the power of lightning, but no one who hasn't been up close and personal with a bolt can testify to the true terror and impact of that. Not long ago, a fluke bolt of lightning struck near the U.S. Capitol, killing three people and injuring a fourth, literally a bolt out of the blue. Fewer than 250 people are hit by lightning every year. But of those, you might be surprised that 90% of them survive. That's what our next guest can tell us all about. She was struck by lightning, and she's here to talk about it. Her name is Dr. Meg Hayworth. And you're a pretty rare individual because, you know, when we talk about winning the lottery, it's like being hit by a bolt of lightning.
Yes.
I mean, that's the metaphor that's often used. And I guess the first thing we want to know is what happened there on Venice Beach back in 2014 when you got struck?
Yeah, I was sitting in the wet sand near the waterline with my best friend, and we were just talking, and it was out of the blue lightning, and it just grounded near us and about 20 feet away from us, and it went up our right legs, which, of course, we didn't know right then.
Did it strike your foot, or was it because you were grounded on the sand?
Because we were grounded. It was a ground current. Most people that are struck directly, from my understanding, they're not going to survive that. So, but it looked like a plate of white light had hit the top of her head, and we were, all these jagged bolts were around us, like we were inside of a static electricity globe. It was very intense. And of course, all the muscles in the body seize from the electrical current. It's very different than if you're electrocuted, you know, plugging something in, your hand's wet, you know?
You feel that jolt.
Very different.
But this, what was this like? What'd you feel?
It was very intense. A lot of pain in the head because—
Did it feel like somebody punched you or?
No, it's more like a frying pan over the head.
Oh.
It was intense.
Well, so what happened? I mean, did you hit the ground?
We were already on the ground.
Yeah, but I mean, what happened?
Did you? Fortunate.
Yeah. Fortunate. Did you have some kind of a physical reaction?
Yeah. As soon as you know, my friends were both like this, and she said, "Did we just get struck?" And I said, "Yeah, I saw it hit you." And when we realized we had cheated death, we stood up, and because we could, thankfully, and we just sobbed in each other's arms. We couldn't believe what we had just been through. And at that point, all of these emergency crews were coming onto the beach, and we noticed that there was a man being pulled out of the water. And we sat there for a moment and just were just like sending him good energy. And then I said, let's just get off the beach, because then the clouds were rolling in, and I thought this could get worse, so let's go.
The man died?
That man, I don't think so.
But somebody did die
further down the beach. So, yeah, a 19-year-old.
How was your friend?
She fared a lot better than I did, and she's doing really well. She still has in the right foot. We both have this buzzing sensation that's always there.
What's that called?
So, I don't know.
But you have a condition that has a name, and that's behind your eyes.
Yeah, one of the things I do have is photophobia, and it was much worse at the beginning, and so the back of my eyes hurt a lot when I see flashes of bright light. So when I was seeing the opening for the segments, it really was hitting the back of my eyes.
I want to ask you about that, because we've had all this lightning footage throughout this show. Yeah. You've been sitting in the green room watching. Have you had a reaction to watching this, like a PTSD sort of thing?
Yeah. It's hard to watch it. What had just happened at the Capitol, I'm from D.C., and so it's like seeing that in my hometown, knowing more people are dying from this. It's pretty scary. So, but if there's a storm in the area, I really get scared. I just go inside, get under the covers. It's, you know.
How do you deal with all of this emotional impact?
I'm a transpersonal psychologist, so luckily I have a lot of ways to self-soothe and help myself or to talk to somebody else. So that's very helpful. But I think, you know, when I get triggered like this, I sit with the triggers and sit with the, what am I feeling, and let myself feel it, let myself go through it, because I think it helps me more and more. It's not nearly as bad as it was at the beginning. It's been 8 years almost.
And you're still feeling it. It never leaves you, does it?
No. I was told that very early on from a lightning strike survivor. I found 2 days later. He actually heads up a lightning strike survivors and electrocution international It's a support group.
Support group, yeah.
Yeah.
So I want to ask you, because you've heard Chief Sanchez during this show talk about what to do about safety. You heard Rick Dicker talking about what to do about safety. Did you even have a chance to do either of those things?
No. It was so unexpected because there was a storm, but it was way out at sea and there was nothing above us, no rain, no nothing.
Nothing to give you a clue.
No, no. And it, you know, I'm from the South. My parents are from Florida, from D.C., and we had all these lightning safety rules in our house. And it just, like, it was weird because it didn't compute because I'm in Southern California. It was, I don't know, but it, and they didn't clear the beach. I understand that they do now clear the beach if there's any lightning in the area, but at the time it was just not even on anybody's radar. It had not happened as far as they knew in the history of Venice Beach.
Any advice you want to give people out there?
Oh, gosh. don't do the storm chaser thing. People are doing that. Stay inside. Take care of yourself. Take care of your family. It's nothing to mess with. It's getting, as you've heard from other segments in this, it's getting worse and worse and harder and harder to avoid. So if you can be inside, stay inside, take care of yourself.
I'm glad you're okay. I'm glad you're here with us. I'm glad you survived this thing. And I'm glad you joined us to talk about it. Thanks so much, Dr. Meg Hayworth. Coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, we'll have more. Be right back. And finally, if you haven't already, please check out my podcast. It's called What the Hal, and it's available wherever you subscribe to podcasts, or just go to whatthehalpodcast.com. That's it for this week's Fox 11 News In Depth. Thanks for joining us, and have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next time. I'm kind of an